This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Trump administration officials are responding to criticism that the president didn't bring up the problem of Russian election meddling interference when he spoke by phone with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the U.S. is keeping Moscow in line.
This administration has been tougher on Russia than any of its predecessor administrations. I could go through the list, but there's not time in the show to talk about all the things we've done. The largest defense build up, our new, I mean, the list is long.
He spoke on Fox News Sunday. The president says he still sees tremendous potential for a good, even great relationship with Russia. Investigators say 41 of the 78 people on board a Russian Aeroflot passenger plane were killed after it caught fire while making an emergency landing at a Moscow airport. This is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. U.S. entrepreneurs continue to project a strong business outlook despite a slight dip in economic confidence. According to the Spring 2019 Bank of America Small Business Owner Report, nearly 70% plan to expand and more than half predict rising revenues. Even as growth remains a focus, entrepreneurs are taking steps to protect against potential threats to their business. Nearly two-thirds have a business continuity plan in the event of a natural disaster, while the majority have taken steps to prepare for an economic downturn and secure data against a cyber breach. Sharon Miller, head of Small Business, Bank of America.
Small business owners remain optimistic about their business outlook and their ability to grow in the year ahead. However, while most entrepreneurs are taking steps to protect their business from potential threats such as natural disasters, an economic downturn, or a cyber breach, a sizable number still are not.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
The federal gas tax of 18.4 cents hasn't risen since 1993. Since then, costs of transportation projects has risen to almost 75%. The administration is proposing $2 trillion in infrastructure spending. White House advisor Larry Kudlow says we shouldn't raise the tax.
So, well, wouldn't you admit that the gasoline tax has not kept up well enough?
Actually, it's never been indexed, if that's what you're saying.
Do motorists want a higher gas tax? I don't think so. Do working folks want a higher gas tax? I don't think so. We'll come up with our own package.
Tyson Foods is recalling nearly 12 million pounds of frozen chicken strips because some shipments may be contaminated with metal. The affected product was produced between October 1st of last year and March 8th of this year. The product was shipped to retailers nationwide. You're listening to USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
A man was on a fishing trip in Florida and ended up having a painful encounter with a shark. It happened when he fell off his boat and the shark zoomed right over. WINK-TV reporter Morgan Reiner.
My foot slipped.
And before he knew it, he was in the water.
I felt something hit me on the leg. I thought it was a tarpon, but it was an 8 to 10 foot bull shark.
The captain pulled him back on the boat, and Kelly's military training jumped into action. He cut off circulation to his leg while they made their way back to the dock. So a few surgeries and a round of antibiotics, and Kelly will be okay.
He says he'll gladly go fishing again if his wife allows it.
A community is mourning a fallen hero in North Carolina after a police officer was shot and killed during a traffic stop late on Saturday. USA Radio's Chris Barnes has more on the story.
It's an all too common scenario for law enforcement officers. The officer killed during what started as a routine traffic stop. The Mooresville Police Department says 32-year-old canine officer Jordan Shelton was fatally shot at about 10 on Saturday night. The suspect in the shooting left the scene but was later located in a nearby apartment where they found him dead of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. The officer had served with with Mooresville's Police Department for 6 years. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Take us with you on your mobile device and listen anytime at usaradio.com.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going
on. Hey, so what's going on here? Why are our churches under attack? You know, maybe some of you have asked, whether it's a synagogue. I mean, I'm still in California, too far from Poway, where the synagogue was attacked here as the final wrap-up over Passover. We saw what happened in Sri Lanka. You know, what is going on? You know, what are these events pointing to? Well, Dr. Jerry Newcomb is with us. He serves as the senior producer and as an on-air host and a columnist for D. James Kennedy Ministries. He's produced or co-produced more than 61-hour TV specials that have aired nationwide. And as I mentioned, he is also serves as the TV outreach of the late Dr. James Kennedy, the senior pastor of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Florida for 48 years. And, you know, Jerry's just not busy enough. He produces, in addition to everything else, a weekly column for the ministry. You know, Jerry, I just wish you'd be a better example of the work ethic. I don't know what's going on here.
Well, I'll try. I'll take more days off, too.
Yeah, exactly. Why not? Hey, Jerry, we just so appreciate you and, you know, just love all the hard work and what you bring in, you know, to the body of Christ, and we're grateful for that. But, you know, I wanted to talk about, you know, an article that you wrote here on the targeting of churches and Christians. What is going on? What do you see?
Well, first of all, Jesus himself warned us that if we were to follow him, we can expect to be persecuted. He said if they treated me, the master, this way, and of course we know he was crucified, then his followers can expect also to be persecuted. And frankly, that's the history of the world. America, in some ways, is a major exception, but it was founded by Christians for Christian liberty, which they then extended to everybody else. And nowadays, we find ourselves in a battle for religious liberty, even here in America. But, of course, the attack on Easter Sunday against those churches and hotels in Sri Lanka were unbelievable, but they're an example, in that particular case, it was radical Muslims that are, you know, heck-bent on doing what the Quran says, which is slay the infidel wherever you may find them. And so it's a tragic thing, but a lot of people in the West are not willing to recognize and understand that there are some within Islam that do want to take the Quran and the Hadith, the teachings of Muhammad, seriously in terms of persecuting the people of the book. That would be the Christians and the Jews.
But they're even attacking their own people. I mean, look what happened in New Zealand.
In New Zealand, the man that was doing that killing was not a Muslim against fellow Muslims. That was some sort of right-wing wacko who, by the way, he was asked, you know, are you a Christian? And he basically said no. And of course he's not a Christian.
Right.
The Bible says those who, you know, commit, knowingly, willfully commit murder do not have eternal life. It just says that in 1 John.
Mm-hmm. No, my point is that even Muslims are being attacked as people of faith. That's what I meant to say. I misspoke there.
Mostly by fellow Muslims.
Right. Yes, you get that going. You got honor killing still going on, even in the United States. It's on and on. And so the opportunity we have here, Jerry, is to be discerners and understand, you know, okay, what is going on? And are we desperately careening toward, as Billy Graham said, the last of the last days? Which was unusual for him to even speak of that, because, as you know, Billy Graham traditionally did not speak. He always came with an evangelistic statement. He never spoke of anything in terms of a last day theology. But in the latter stages of his life, he had to admit, he goes, these are the last of the last days, the signs of which seem to be coming at us loud and clear.
It would seem like that. I will also say that throughout history, many Christians have thought that theirs was the final generation, the generation that would see Jesus. And so I think we need to be careful with that, not to fall into that trap. And we need to, in the meantime, whatever it is, whatever the situation is in terms of when Jesus is coming, occupy until I come.
Exactly.
And never let that become an excuse for withdrawing from, you know, evangelism, discipleship, engaging the culture for Christ in terms of being salt and light. And I think sometimes we can fall into that trap. Now, meanwhile, I do want to point out that Open Doors, which was founded ultimately by Brother Andrew, God Smuggler, you remember him?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's still alive, by the way. He's from the Netherlands, but they report that on average, every month, 105 churches and Christian buildings are burned or attacked around the world. And then they maintain other statistics like 345 Christians are killed for faith-related reasons, and 219 Christians are detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned. So it's a bleak picture,
And I'm glad you're bringing up some of those
for this life.
Right. And I'm glad you're bringing up some of those statistics, Jerry, because I got to tell you, I've been looking to try to, you know, find a go-to source so that I can get the numbers. And many people I've spoken with, Bill, the numbers just aren't available. Go, wait a minute. Christians are being persecuted. They're being killed. They're being incarcerated all around the world, including here domestically. And we can't come up with a number. No, we don't have a number.
Isn't that interesting? Well, it's hard to do so, and we need to be careful not to ever exaggerate things.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate what Brother Andrew has established here with Open Doors. I also appreciate the work of Christian Freedom International and the Voice of the Martyrs.
Yes, exactly.
And all these different ministries that are helping us to, you know, realize what's going on. For example, we saw the burning down of Notre Dame a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the exact cause of that, to my knowledge, is not yet fully known, although some, of course, suspected arson. But in that case, it probably or might not have been. But in the meantime, we find out that more than 1,000 churches in France have been attacked in the last couple of years. Some of them have been set on fire. Our TV ministry went in 2006 when the movie The Da Vinci Code, which was filled with errors and the book was filled with errors. When that movie was first coming out, we went to France. I told Dr. Kennedy, because I was the producer involved in that. I was the one who decided this. I said, sir, if we paid money for stock footage for all these various shots of cathedrals and things like that described in the Da Vinci Code book, we'd have to pay more money than it would cost us just to go on this trip for a few days and get these shots. So we did.
Right.
And some of the churches we shot in, videotaped in, have been burned. St. Sulpice, S-U-L-P-I-C-E, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, it's a French word, of course, was set on fire by a Muslim a couple of years ago. It did not get totally burned or anything. They were able to control it, but still,
right.
It's scary to think about that. And churches are attacked because Christians are attacked because Christianity is under fire.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus will prevail.
Amen. Jerry, you know, when we talk about the last of the last days, it's not for us to check out. I mean, the reason the book of Revelations is so powerful, it's God's word of warning to his people to ready up.
Here.
I mean, this is what this is all about, and this is hopefully what people are hearing from this. Not that you say, hey, look, my salvation is sealed, so I'm okay, so my heels are on the desk. No, we still have to be about the Father's business, don't we? We've got more from Jerry Newcomb after this.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, and our conversation continues with Dr. Jerry Newcomb. Jerry, when we consider what's happening right now, the attack on churches, the very thing, ironically, that is the answer for, if you want to say, for people at large, for the culture. You know, there is a clear attack. And, you know, spiritually we know this is significant, because what happens in the physical, in our realm, first happens spiritually. Does it make you wonder what is happening, you know, in the outer reaches of our realm? You know, the battle that must be raging right now between good and evil. As the Bible says, it is the gates of heaven is suffering violence, but it's the righteous that must take it by storm. I mean, there's some application here, don't you think?
Yeah, there we really are in a spiritual battle. I mean, even in the realm of politics, we can see this. For example, if you follow at all the writings of Saul Alinsky, the Marxist radical community organizer from Chicago, who wrote the book called Rules for Radicals. He died in 1972. His classic book, Rules for Radicals, 1971, was basically a how-to, you know, a guide for social radicals and so forth. And if you look at today's headlines, you see a lot of the rules for radicals he spelled out in that book are being applied. And basically, the ends justify the means and so forth. But he dedicated that book to Lucifer, who gained his own kingdom by being the first rebel in history. And this is a fascinating thing, because, I mean, it just shows you, wow, this is a spiritual battle that we are engaged in. Mm-hmm. But the good news is, Jesus Christ has won. We worship Jesus, who was killed, was crucified, but that wasn't just for nothing. That was for our sake that he was crucified. And then after being buried, he rose again from the dead. And this is not just some idle doctrine or something. This has great relevance to our whole world. Mm-hmm. Everybody listening to me right now can point to a certain year on the calendar in which they were born. I was born in 1956. I mention this because that's 1956 years after the time of Christ.
Exactly.
Christ is the reference for our calendar.
Our birthday. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Jesus Christ is the inescapable imperative, and I like to point out to people, you know, whether they like to hear it or not, the fact of the matter is every beat of the human heart is by the grace of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And when he says enough, then comes the accountability. Mm-hmm. And I think we've lost that sense of accountability in our age, as if we somehow, you know, we'll never have to answer to God for the things that we do. And that's just foolishness to think that. And by the way, even the I'm a student of the founding fathers, and even the more liberal founding fathers amongst them that were not orthodox in the sense of, you know, a strong orthodox Christian believing all the key doctrines and so forth, even they acknowledge that there will be divine accountability, that we will give an account of our lives before God. That's why the gospel is so critical, because none of us are worthy. None of us stand up, and will stand up, but Jesus paid the penalty for us on the cross. When we believe in him, then we shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
You know, and speaking of our founding fathers, Jerry, they understood what they were putting together was of the divine. The hand of divine providence, without the hand of divine providence, America doesn't happen. The great experiment that these men were involved in, I mean, they, you know, you sense from their early writings, this is from them, okay? This is not from, you know, modern illustrators or modern interpreters, because we know what they have done and how they've rewritten our history, sadly. But from their own words, there was this sense of awe that they touched on something rather holy and significant.
Absolutely, and they committed themselves to the Lord. They even said, for example, in the Declaration of Independence, which mentions God four times, they said at the very end of it, with a firm reliance on divine providence. That's just a you know, 17th century, I mean, sorry, 18th century way of saying with a firm reliance on God,
yes,
we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And today, a lot of times the founding fathers are disrespected as a bunch of dead white guys or something like that. And the fact of the matter is they sacrifice everything for us, for their posterity. And we are the unworthy, in my opinion, recipients of the incredible liberties that they bequeathed to us through their sacrifices with their trust in Almighty God. And meanwhile, people around the world are often trying to risk their lives to try and come here to America to experience the freedom that we enjoy because our founders said our rights come from the Creator. When God gives us rights, the state should not interfere with those rights. And yet that's the history of America. That's the history of the world, is these conflicts between states where basically the state grows too big and the state becomes God, like in Nazi Germany,
exactly,
or the Soviet Union, or whatever. But America, they said, no, our rights come from the Creator. Nowadays, though, with the way some of these liberal courts have gone with some of their decisions, they try and, you know, chip away at our God-given rights, and and they do so in the name of the Constitution, but frankly, they're twisting the Constitution.
Well, without a doubt, and Jerry, I keep reminding the people that this is a government up for by we the people, and you've got to embrace and understand what our founding fathers meant by that. And what it was they were putting the people, they turned the org chart upside down. You and I have been in business for a long time. We know about organizational charts. It always starts with a pyramid-shaped design. At the very top is the CEO and the president of the organization, and you know, goes down to the minions. But what the founding fathers said, no, we're turning it upside down to where it is the minions, the common man, what you might determine today to be the forgotten man and woman of America. We are in the authority position, and if we do not exercise said authority, then you have the America that you have today, where everybody's at each other's throats. The elites like it this way because they're out there starting the fires, and then coming right behind the fires, as Nancy Pelosi would say, after they do their wrap-up smear of igniting fires, and they come in and say, hey, we got hoses. We can, you know, give us credit for, you know, putting the fire. Well, you're the one that started the fire in the first place. But,
right,
you know, so this is what goes round and round, and we the people are being duped, all so that we do not stand up and claim the authority that Donald Trump even reminded us of during, you know, his inauguration speech, that today was different. Unlike Barack Obama, who said that he was going to fundamentally transform our country, Donald Trump says what we're going to do is return to our founding principles, where we the people are in charge.
You know, it's so funny. I watched Donald Trump's inaugural speech, every word of it. I watched the whole thing. It was an excellent speech. It was absolutely unbelievable.
Right.
Then at the very end, almost uncharacteristically, but he raised his fist, his right fist, in the air, you know, as if I've won, I've triumphed, you know, and it was almost out of character of the speech, and sure enough, Time magazine had that raised, clenched fist on its cover, you know, as if this is, you know, the defiant guy. Nothing about the common man and power to the people and we the forgotten man. The real message was distorted in that sense. And I could only wish that Mr. Trump had not raised his fist like that and given them that opportunity. But, you know, it seems like, and no matter what he does, the liberal secular media is out there to trip him up and try and get him in trouble.
Yeah, without a doubt. Dr. Jerry Newcomb has been with us. Jerry, thank you so much, as always. Appreciate the time and the insight. You're awesome.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you.
God bless, buddy.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Hispanic entrepreneurs are confident about their 2019 business outlook, according to the 2019 Bank of America Hispanic Small Business Owner Spotlight. A strong majority are planning for increased revenue, expansion, and long-term growth. However, low unemployment is creating obstacles for Hispanic business owners looking to recruit and retain talent. Elizabeth Romero, Small Business Executive at Bank of America.
Hispanic entrepreneurs are embracing a more confident outlook toward growth compared to their non-Hispanic peers. However, the ultra-competitive labor market has made hiring and retaining employees a significant challenge.
Optimism is also paving the way for future generations of Hispanic business owners. 34% of Hispanic entrepreneurs say their business has grown beyond their original vision, and 38% plan to pass their business on to their children. For more information, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Trump administration officials are responding to criticism that the president didn't bring up the problem of Russian election meddling interference when he spoke by phone with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the U.S. is keeping Moscow in line.
This administration has been tougher on Russia than any of its predecessor administrations. I could go through the list, but there's not time in the show to talk about all the things we've done. Our largest defense build up, our new, I mean, the list is long.
He spoke on Fox News Sunday. The president says he still sees tremendous potential for a good, even great relationship with Russia. Investigators say 41 of the 78 people on board a Russian Aeroflot passenger plane were killed after it caught fire while making an emergency landing at a Moscow airport. This is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Hispanic entrepreneurs are confident about their 2019 business outlook, according to the 2019 Bank of America Hispanic Small Business Owner Spotlight. A strong majority are planning for increased revenue, expansion, and long-term growth. However, low unemployment is creating obstacles for Hispanic business owners looking to recruit and retain talent. Elizabeth Romero, Small Business Executive at Bank of America.
Hispanic entrepreneurs are embracing a more confident outlook toward growth compared to their non-Hispanic peers. However, the ultra-competitive labor market has made hiring and retaining employees a significant challenge.
Optimism is also paving the way for future generations of Hispanic business owners. 34% of Hispanic entrepreneurs say their business has grown beyond their original vision, and 38% plan to pass their business on to their children. For more information, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Right, what more could you want? Bill Martinez live. Leave. Turn it up.
You know, this is what happens when your mind's on the outside. You can't be in the middle. You got to be on the outside. You're in your disparate areas, all huddled up, or huddled masses, losing their minds and getting brain bruised. Look at it. It's time to talk about something. We're going to give ourselves a little bit of a break, and we're going to talk about business. You know how much that is on my heart. I love the entrepreneur. I love the business, everything about business, because what's reflected in business here with each entrepreneur are dreams. Don't you love that? I love that people can dream, and I love that they're dreaming big dreams again. And this week is Small Business Week that's taking place since Cinco de Mayo yesterday through May 11th. And as any small business owner can attest, starting or growing a business is no easy task. Many small business owners aren't following a business plan or even utilizing key resources available to them. Because of this, small business owners risk not converting recent optimism into action, which is required for growth. Well, Richard Whitworth is joining us. He's the Managing Director for Business Consulting for Cetera Investment Management. And he's going to be talking about insight for small business owners in the financial services space. Richard, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here. Doing great. And yourself?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Thank you so much. Don't you love the entrepreneurial? I love this country for so many reasons. But the idea that people can have a dream and act on that dream and have a good chance of attaining it, to me, this is what makes America great.
I couldn't agree more, Bill. You know, when I think about and we look at a landscape, if it's financial services or regardless at the economy at large, the small business owners are the lifeblood of that economy. 99% of all businesses in the United States are classified as small businesses, you know, is defined as being under 500 employees, and actually over 60% of all private sector jobs that have been created since 2008 are a result of those small business owners. So they truly are the lifeblood of the economy and of our country.
You know, Arthur Brooks just did an incredible documentary, and it's kind of his opus. And he goes to India, and to your point on all this, Richard, I don't know if you've seen this documentary, but it is a must-see, especially for anybody involved with business. And we know that not long ago, India was in a lot of problems. I mean, you know, and you might think, when you think of India, you think, well, this poor little country. I tell you, they are abounding, and what is causing them to abound, to your point, is this lifeblood of entrepreneurship that's taking place at their level, at their understanding and development. It is provocative. I mean, it's provocative, and it's encouraging for those of us in the West who may look at India and say, oh, you know, what's this little country doing in that? And I'll tell you, they are abuzz with small business activity.
They really are, you know, and I've actually had an opportunity to travel through India, and it's a spectacular country. And I think the one thing that links all entrepreneurs, regardless of where you are, is this business idea, is of how can I help my local community? How can I help myself? And it doesn't matter what you're doing or where. If you start to manage and think about your business objectively, you're going to make more strategic decisions and better decisions for your organization.
Well, to that point, what is the current business environment for Main Street financial advisors?
You know what, Bill, I really think that it's a great time to be an independent financial advisor, sort of working on Main Street versus on Wall Street. You know, first and foremost, here we are, you know, still roaring in this bull economy that we have, and we're still experiencing a lot of economic expansion. And I think that the sentiment that what we see for the Main Street investor as well as the Main Street financial advisor is both very positive for both people. You know, people are coming with investable assets. People at the entrepreneurial level are continuing to create new small businesses. And where I think financial advisors are going is now from the point of view to say, how can I be a financial life coach and really drive financial well-being regardless of market cycles, you know, given the complexity that we all face in our financial lives right now? That's the beauty of being able to deliver that advice, is you can help the client get through some of those muddied waters to get to the conclusion and the end result that they're looking for.
And Richard, what you're pointing out are some of the primary things to consider for advisors, right? Starting their own practices?
I would definitely think so. You know, when we have our financial advisors, when they sort of become independent, hang their own shingle in wherever Main Street is in the United States, the best folks that we see doing that are the ones that come with a plan. Mm-hmm. Making sure that they have 3 to 5 financial metrics that they march towards in any different time period. It could be revenue per professional. It could be assets under management. It could be how many clients are my support staff serving and supporting, knowing that once you get over 100, 150 relationships, it's hard to maintain them and drive that client intimacy, which is why people stay with you.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing goes in just around understanding what are those processes that we have in place. You know, when the principal or the owner operator needs to take a step back and step out for a period of time, how well can the business maintain and be managed without that principal in place? You know,
exactly.
You don't need to be a Fortune 500 publicly traded company to have these best practices in place in your local organization.
Well, we know there's a reason why so many businesses, after, you know, starting out with good consideration, you know, funding that they're able to, you know, scrape together, but why they fail. And a lot of it is, you know, to your point, it's about these critical planning stages that are so necessary. Businesses are so excited by the idea. They want to get out there and throw it out in the marketplace. But what we're finding, what experience demonstrates to us time and again, the people that win and that are successful are the ones that do their due diligence when it comes to planning, are they not?
Absolutely, Bill. You know, I have a phrase that I like to use. You have to know the way, show the way, and go the way.
And that,
I like that.
If it's a business of one or a business of a thousand, having the plan in place and sort of what the strategic vision is going to be for the organization is key. And making sure that that strategic vision is a living, breathing document, not only to the business owner, but also to all employees, as well as clients or customers that somebody has. You want everybody to be a raving fan of the idea of what you're trying to deliver. And having that proper plan in place and making sure that it's just not a paperweight on the side of your desk in your office,
right,
but something that's a living, breathing document is what not only allows you to maintain the vision, but then tactically adjust if opportunities arise or if you need to pivot because challenges that you may face.
Exactly. What about the best measures of success for small businesses in and beyond financial services? You got some tips for us?
I definitely do, Bill. And I think it comes down to this idea that the goal of any business owner, regardless of if it's financial services or a franchise or what have you, is to drive equity and enterprise value, which at some point can be monetized. The goal of the business should be to sell it for a premium at some point in the future. And you go through that by having a very diligent continuity and succession planning process. Make sure that there is documentation in place so that you as the owner-operator can step out, be it for an illness, disability, or because you're ready to take that three-week vacation in Europe. That's the continuity to maintain the business when you're not there. The succession side of it comes to your orderly exit, identifying who's going to be that G2 or that next-gen owner-operator, getting them in front of clients and prospects so that you can have an orderly client transition. That's going to help optimize the value of the business, which then you can extract that monetary value, because ultimately for most small business owners, the sale of their business is the greatest financial windfall that they are going to have and is effectively their own retirement plan.
Wow.
So having that end result in mind of everything that I'm doing is going to drive and enhance that equity value that I'm going to extract at some point is really the best marching orders that a small business owner can have.
Well said. Richard, as we wrap things up, where should small business owners turn for help and where can they go for more information?
Sure. So I think the easiest way is reach out and visit Cetera, www.cetera.com. One of our 8,000 independent financial advisors who operate on everywhere in Main Street America are there to help help the everyday American achieve their financial objectives and navigate these business ownership waters.
Well, Richard Whitworth, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate all the insight, and I hope these aspiring small businesses go to Cetera.com for more information. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Bill. Have a great day.
He's the Managing Director of Cetera Financial Group's Business Consulting Organization. Richard Whitworth has been our guest on Bill Martinez Live. Stay right where you are. We've got Adam Holtz coming up next.
Professional staffing, there's only one name you need to know, Robert Half. Robert Half custom matches our candidates to your specific hiring requirements by combining personalized service from local staffing experts with an advanced matching technology based on 70 years of successful placements. For highly skilled accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, or administrative staffing, count on Robert Half. We'll find you productive, engaged employees. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
May is Mental Health Month, an important time to acknowledge the 1 in 5 U.S. adults living with mental illness. Many people with a mental illness may also suffer from tardive dyskinesia, or TD, an involuntary movement disorder associated with prolonged use of antipsychotics. While TD may affect at least 500,000 people in the U.S., research shows a gap in TD awareness. This year, approximately 20 states have declared May 5th through 11th, 2019 TD Awareness Week. To learn more, visit talkabouttd.com, brought to you by Neurocrine Biosciences.
This message is sponsored by AmeriGlide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call AmeriGlide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple two-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stairlift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now, no other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us and advertise at gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise at gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
On your smartphone and around the world, you've tuned in to Bill Martinez Live.
Hooray for Hollywood.
This is Bill Martinez Live.
Hooray for Hollywood.
Oh, the grand old days, huh? When you could say hooray for Hollywood and not hold your nose. But I understand, you know, so, you know, but, you know, sometimes it's okay to look in the rearview mirror to appreciate the way it was in hopes that maybe, just maybe, Adam Holtz, it might return to its old glory. What do you think?
Oh, boy. I don't know that I'm not optimistic. I mean,
yeah.
There's some spectacular movies being made today. There's no doubt about it. There's some good movies. And then there's a lot of junk.
Yes.
That's my honest assessment.
No, that's true, and that's why we have to be discerners, you know, and critical discerners of that information out there. That's why we're so grateful for all the great work that the team at Plugged In does, you know, on behalf of, you know, people of faith to know what it is that they're walking into.
Yeah.
And what's being offered there at the, you know, at the movies, and no doubt about it. Hey, real quick, only because, you know, I touched on this a little bit, we were supposed to have a conversation with Dr. Alveda King, who was present in New York for the Alive in New York City event that took place. And wow, I mean, I saw some of the video. Adam, that was awesome what Focus on the Family did there in New York City. It could have been so much better, but, you know, those are one of those things that you say, look, I got to be faithful and do what God's called me to do and let God take over the rest. We may not have gotten the big screen that we wanted because the big screen operators, all those billboard operators there in New York City, there was no way they were going to allow a 4D image of a sonogram, an ultrasound, be put on those big screens. They'll let any other bit of garbage be put up there and to penetrate the minds of the people walking by. But God forbid that we have time and room for the truth, right?
Oh, that's right. I mean, I think the fact that the event went off really smoothly, I don't think there were any major technical hiccups. That was obviously a disappointment, but not surprising, really. I mean, I think that we expect resistance on issues like this, and we had three big screens that we brought in. So certainly the image was very visible and viewable, even if it wasn't on that one particularly iconic screen. And, you know, it sort of is just being, our desire was to just say, hey, look at this. You know, the images speak for themselves. We don't have to do a lot of arguing, although obviously we're arguing this position in the public square, to show people this is life. This is a human being. Mm-hmm. This is a pre-born baby.
I look at it this way, Adam. What we're doing is representing the voice. You know, we're the representative voice of the voiceless, which is the unborn child.
Yes.
Number one. Number two are the confused women, and I would say men and women who get involved with abortion and they buy in the lie. They want to believe that it's nugatorial. It's meaningless. It's just a mass of tissue. It really is inconsequential. And what we're saying, just like with anything that is sinful, going into it, it looks good. Looks like, okay, it's acceptable. No big whoop until you've committed that sin. And then you're there crushed by the impact of the choice that you made.
Yeah.
And the people that are calling this out aren't people that are greater than thou. We're ones that went through the experience and realized the crushing blow of the sin that we committed. And we're saying, we don't want you to go down the same route. Now, Planned Parenthood and others would want you to believe differently, like as if we're all self-righteous and that sort of thing. We don't want you waking up at 3:00 in the morning, you know, crying your head off and you're heartbreaking because you realize that you murdered your child.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the reality here, and we talk about this all the time, is language works on one level, but images work on another, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And images work in ways that rhetoric and arguments and logic sometimes don't, which is why movies are so powerful. That's why we talk about movies as passionately as we do, because we recognize that those images have the ability to move the needle because they're working on an emotional level, not necessarily a purely rational one,
mm-hmm.
which is why they can convince us a lot of times of things that are not true and not right and not rational, but they're romanticized in such a way that, you know, our heart responds to it. And so in some ways we're trying to fight fire with fire here, Bill. We're trying to use
exactly.
the power of image to represent something that is true, that is beautiful, that is, you know, a picture of life. And
mm-hmm.
and so I think sometimes where arguments might fail, the actual image can accomplish things that perhaps our rhetoric never could. And
right.
so we're really willing to trust God that those images, that those pictures of those babies in the womb can accomplish God's purposes. And frankly, even if one person in Times Square rethought her decision to get an abortion because of that, mm-hmm. it was worth it.
Well, we know, Adam, women who see an ultrasound of their baby and have intent to do, you know, to be involved with an abortion, change their mind.
Yeah.
And this is why Planned Parenthood, this is why these other groups. The other thing, and I hope one of the big takeaways for those of you that saw the movie Unplanned, and if you didn't see it, let me give you a key takeaway. What came out in the movie when Abby Johnson realized what she was involved with and walked away from an industry that she... you know, got her daily bread from for 8 years. I mean, she was a director. She was the rising star for Planned Parenthood. And she was a director of a facility in Texas. And what she shared with the with the people, 40 Days to Life group, was that when they were there praying at the facility, the number of abortions went down that they could clear. And they had no idea. They were just out there praying, right? And so I want people to come away and be encouraged that even though you may not see the effect that's taking place, even like what happened in New York City, what Focus on the Family did. We just came off the heels of a National Day of Prayer, where the nation was in prayer for our country and our world and for the lost and forgotten. And even though you may not see, there are miracles that are happening, even as you and I are talking right now, Adam.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously we are unable to see, you know, some of what is happening in these spiritual realms and in these spiritual realities. And God is at work.
Yes.
Clearly there is a battle, and clearly there is there's truth here, and that's why our campaign is called See Life Clearly.
Mm.
We
yes.
want you to look directly at what life in the womb looks like.
Right.
So that you can wrestle with that, you know, and that, or, you know, for those of us who are pro-life in our convictions, so that we can be reminded of that truth and why we care so passionately about it.
Yeah, without a doubt. Again, our thanks to Focus on the Family, Jim Daly, the entire team. Adam, outstanding job, and hey, all we can do is be about the Father's business and let him, you know, let him do his finishing work. And we will continue, hopefully, I would say, to be faithful co-laborers with his efforts, you know, for a time such as this. Regarding Plugged In and the reviews, very quickly, Avengers yeah. Endgame, what, 2 billion now?
I mean, yeah, it's almost 2.2 billion wow. in like 12 days in theaters.
Wow.
I mean, there's never been anything like it.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see where it ends up. There's a lot of speculation that it really has what it takes to take down Avatar as the number one worldwide movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll do that. I think it'll do it in the next couple of weeks at the rate that it's going.
Right. Which would be faster than Avatar, right?
Well, yeah, Avatar took 47 days to get to 2 billion. Avengers Endgame took 11.
Right.
So that puts it in perspective in a hurry.
Right. Of course, outreaches can, you know, there's certain times, you know, different things, different access to screens, different deals. So that's could be the argument or the asterisk that the Avatar people would want to put on it. But nonetheless, I mean, this 3-hour movie is definitely, boy, it's bringing people to the box office, no doubt.
It is bringing people to the box office,
right.
Definitely.
What about Ugly Dolls? We talked with Kelly Ashbery, the director of the movie, last week. Good fun.
Yeah, I had a discussion with him, too. He was
mm-hmm.
terrific.
Yeah.
Hang on, I got to cough for a second.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Yep.
Ugly Dolls is a lovely animated movie about what happens to dolls that are the rejects in the manufacturing process. They get kicked out of a little garbage chute, and they end up together in a land called Uglyville. And they're actually pretty happy there. And one day, a fairly curious young doll named Moxie, she's voiced by Kelly Clarkson, decides that maybe these rumors that she has heard about children lovingly adopting dolls is really true.
Mm.
And so she goes and gathers some friends and goes looking for answers. And she finds out that indeed there is a place where dolls that are perfect called Live and Train. It's called the Institute of Perfection and are prepared. And so this is a really nice movie that really deals with issues of appearance and with the fact that what matters is what's inside.
Mm-hmm. So, thumbs up here?
Yeah, really, there's very, very little content here at all. There's one throwaway line about finding your own truth. Actually, it's repeated a couple of times, but they don't really dig into it very deeply. So, other than that, boy, there's not much here to worry about.
Fun conversation with the little ones. You know, you love these movies that you can go to and use them as object lessons, huh?
Absolutely. And this one really gives parents fodder for that.
Well, good job. Adam Holtz with PluggedIn.com. Adam, as always, appreciate the insight and you sharing with us in the reviews of Ugly Dolls.
Always love talking to you, Bill.
Have a great day, buddy. God bless.
Okay, so a watch is good, and some jewelry. Better grab some flowers, too.
Hey, what you doing?
Mother's Day, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm making lists, gotta plan a trip to the store, then need to save all the receipts in case she wants to return.
You know there's an easier way, right?
I'm guessing you do?
Yes, and I'm gonna show you the easy, quick way to shop for Mom, and save 30% at sunshine-pillows.com.
Ah, pillows.
Mm-hmm.
Great idea.
Oh, not just pillows. Sunshine-pillows.com has the best selection of custom heated neck wraps and heated neck pillows.
She always says she has stress.
And aches and pains, right? Look, they have hot and cold therapy products.
Ooh, it says we can buy any select combo up to $150 and get 30% off.
Yep, just use this promo code MOM30.
You know, for a little brother, you're pretty smart.
Get something for every mom on your list and save 30% when you spend up to $150 on any select combo. Now through Mother's Day only at sunshine-pillows.com. Use promo code MOM30. Sunshine-pillows.com. Your complete line of therapeutic pillows and pads.
Hunters.